don't give a fuck about the FBI. I don't give a fuck about the CIA.
What do you think?
Why is he barking? It's crazy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Germ Hat, a podcast where we teach you how to clean shit and barf germs off your hat. I'm here with my co-host who brought in their filthy hats today. We'll be cleaning those motherfuckers up. What kind of hats y'all got in here today?
A leopard skin pillbox hat.
Oh, nice.
Ooh, a bowling hat.
Wait a minute.
What's a bowling hat?
I don't actually see any hats. What podcast is this? Who am I here?
Welcome to Gem Hunt.
Oh, forgive me. We're at Gem Hunt. I was wrong. I came in hot on the wrong podcast.
Different podcasts, buddy.
Yeah, this is a Gem Hunt. What do we do here?
Bucky.
Why do I have to do this? This was your thing.
We look for hidden horror gems.
That is correct. Whether they're obscure, rare, underseen, or just kind of weird, we're going to try to unearth them. So, this is episode 3. I'm happy to announce that the podcast is live, which is just an announcement for us here, because if you're listening to this, obviously it's live. But
we didn't know that.
We didn't know it was ever going to be live. We made 2 episodes before we even knew where it was going to go. So, that's exciting for us. It's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Amazon thing, whatever that is. RSS feeds, probably some other places. I don't know where it all goes once you shoot it out there into the space. We still need a website. I guess I should do that. Do we need to get on social media?
Squarespace.
Is that a thing we do?
Social media. Squarespace.
I mean, I can't imagine like trying to run an Instagram. That would be like kind of funny.
Ugh, you could do it. It could be you.
It could be.
I could do it. I've never touched one.
Dirt
in
Dog Cinema has an Instagram. It is.
It can be a collaborative
available
one.
To find on Dirt Dog Cinema's Instagram, which is our family movie site.
We could do that. Yeah, just put it all on there. And
it
share
is
it.
On there, is what I'm saying to you.
Nice.
Oh shit!
Just so you know, it is.
I don't know how.
There's no, it's linked maybe. It might be linked in the bio, but it's just like you could go look at it because
it
is available.
Link is in the bio.
On all major podcast streaming platforms.
Hell yeah. Okay, episode 3. How do you feel about how we've done so far on the first 2?
This is some pop quiz shit.
I know. I'm like I feel in a hot seat. I'm going to say, I think that the first 2 were like fun, getting the hang of it. It's still like, I don't know why. I feel like I really am in front of an audience, so I like really don't know what to say. There's like this funny pressure for some reason, but it's getting easier. And it's also fun to have my mouth in front of a microphone, not gonna lie.
Yeah, I'm getting stupider.
That's what I was gonna say.
I feel stupider.
As we progress.
Not about you, about myself.
So
I have listened to the first 2 episodes several times now in the editing process.
Wait, you listen to it? Oh, right.
Yeah.
I have to. I don't have a choice.
He's doing the legwork.
I'm editing, so you have to listen to them. And I was shocked and surprised by how fucking dumb I sound. And I already know I'm dumb. That's not a revelation. But I never realized how much I say the word like. When I'm talking, I sound like a fucking 90s...
You're a millennial dog.
Sound like a 90s valley girl or a surfer or some shit. But how do I stop doing that?
I don't know. You have to find another, like, ad lib.
I guess so. I present to city council sometimes. Do you think I'm saying that when I'm
probably,
there?
But probably all of city council is exactly your age and they receive information through the word like.
I also don't think you're saying like during those meetings, to be honest. I think it's more like just like casual.
Like,
I think it's more just like, you know, like casual like that.
I'm right. Saying, Mayor, like, I'm here tonight to like, tell you about like this road project.
There's like a road over there and it's like a little, there's like some potholes.
I think it's hella rad, bro.
There's too many cars. Okay.
Anyways, that's what I sound like and it's annoying. Am I annoying? Yes.
No, but we need to roll. Let's roll.
Okay. Here we go. Let's roll. Is there any other shit we need to discuss before we get into this? Do you want to talk about your feelings or anything?
Feelings.
No, are we going to get right into the movie after our feelings? A feelings, I mean, all we have left.
Well, if you don't have feelings, I don't have feelings.
I don't have feelings to discuss. Anyone watch anything fun besides this?
Oh, we've been watching Swarm.
Swarm.
Oh, okay.
That's good.
It's horror adjacent for sure.
What's that about? Like a cult? Is that like the vibe?
It's Beyonce related. Oh. We've only watched two episodes.
It's fictional, but it's
fictional, but it's like a some kind of pop icon. I don't want to say anything else because it's kind of rad and it's very horror and it's very weird and funny. And I think I like it.
Huh.
We're going to go see In a Violent Nature tomorrow, as long as you feel okay.
I will be wearing a mask. I slept for 25 hours over the last 36 hours. That's all.
Lucky.
Okay.
Yeah, lucky. I was lucky. I was very sweaty.
We have a movie that we're going to review tonight. And we're excited about it. We're tipping our toes, dipping our toes.
We're tipping them in.
We're tiptoeing our toes into nunsploitation. Or is this a possession film? Or is it a vampire film? Which one is it? Who knows?
It's this,
all the above. Lesbian.
This is Beth's pick. Do you want to announce what the movie is?
The movie is called Alucarda. Or La Hija de las Tinieblas. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mi español no es perfecto, pero mi hija habla muy bien. ¿Sí?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not true.
La Hija de las Tinieblas. Also, yeah, the English name is Alucarda. It's from Mexico in 1977, but it is in English. Directed by Juan López Moctezuma. And Cody did a little bit of research on him.
I did. He got his...
Help.
Take it away.
He got his start in radio before making three short films in Mexico. And then he went on to work with Jodorowsky on a film called Fando y Liz.
Have you seen that? Either of you?
I've never heard of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he was part of El Topo?
Mm-hmm. He had an associate producer credit on El Topo. I'm not sure what he did.
Everyone
on the
here
film,
has seen El Topo.
I actually have not.
I don't think I have either.
We might gotta. I've only seen Santo Sangre.
Okay.
That might be the only one I've seen too. Right. I may have seen The Holy Mountain. I can't remember.
You haven't seen The Holy Mountain?
I have not seen The Holy Mountain.
Oh my God. Okay. Anyway.
Let's see, where are we at here? His first horror film was an Edgar Allan Poe adaptation, La Mansión de la Cura. How did I do there?
You actually didn't do bad.
It was hard for me.
You did good.
It's also known as Dr. Tarr's Torture Dungeon, which is such a trashy name. I feel like the direct translation of the Spanish title, La Mansion, or The Mansion of Madness.
That means being crazy.
Mansion of Madness is a dope-ass name. Like, that's right, what they should have really called cool. it. Like,
yeah. And this one's Daughter of Darkness, too, which is pretty sick.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Tarr's fucking torture doesn't. What the hell is that shit, man? That doesn't make any sense. Anyway, Moctezuma is best known for his three horror films, one of which is Alucarda, which we're watching tonight. The other, Mary, Mary, Bloody Mary from 1975. Mm-hmm. And I have added that to the Gem Hunt watch list. We will get to that at some point because I am intrigued. It's been noted that he is a contributor to the panic movement, which I've never heard about until earlier today when I was reading about this, which is a French art collective aimed at creating chaotic and surreal performance art. And this was as a response to surrealism becoming mainstream. I didn't realize surrealism ever became mainstream.
You weren't born yet. Well, neither
Damn.
Was I.
How do you
no,
know?
No, but really, early 60s to 1973 is what it says. But something I read, though, was, you know, this movie and the movies he made were, regardless of surrealism or whatever, it was like not a time to be making this kind of movie in Mexico, and they were pretty subversive.
Subversive? Like, define.
I just mean, like, it wasn't like you got,
radical.
Like, money. Mm. Yeah, they were radical pictures. It was like making an alternative movie here where you were not going to get, like, whatever studio, I don't know what kind of studio system they had, but it wasn't like you were going to get funding and the government was going to be mad at you and so were your parents, you know, okay. That sort of vibe.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
This film was written by Alexis Arroyo and Tita Arroyo, based on a novella by Sheridan Le Fanu from 1872 called Camilla, about a woman who is preyed upon by a female vampire.
Take it away, Buggy.
Okay, well, this is funny because briefly you mentioned, Mom, that, oh, this is based off of some, like, wait, is it novella? Is that how you say that? Mm-hmm. Okay. Novella. Like, it's based off of, like, some short story. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I said, oh, this, like, seems like Carmilla, actually. And you were like, oh, that's the story it's based off of. Which definitely, like, got the inspiration there. I don't know. I don't know who's read that. I haven't actually finished it, if I'm being honest with you. But I have a copy of it. And it has this, like, really interesting foreword that talks about, like, sort of the origins of that story, which has some, like, historical context that's real, which is, like, super fascinating to me. So this, like, was pretty exciting. And it was cool to see, like, this interpreted into, like, this type of religious style of movie. And it kind of, like, fits well with that as well. So it was just, like, cool to see, like, sort of a loosely based interpretation.
No, we were halfway through it and she said, oh, it feels like Carmilla. And I was like, oh, shit, yeah, that's what it is. So Buggy handed me the book and I read the foreword and it was about how it was actually based on a true, like, a correspondence between a woman and her
doctor. They found this manuscript in the author's, like,
wall.
Yeah, they found it. It was, like, hidden, which is, like, really fascinating. And it's a real correspondence between this, I believe she was a Hungarian, like, noble woman, actually, which is, like, adds another interesting layer. And she was writing to this doctor about a lover she had had who had actually been executed. Basically, I think where I got cut off was they found a manuscript in this man's wall that was a correspondence between this Hungarian noble woman and her doctor.
The man was Le Fanu, the guy who wrote the book.
Yes, he wrote the book and he had this, like letters upon letters that basically, like, were from this, like, deeply disturbed woman, only disturbed in the sense that she was mourning the loss of her lover who had been executed, actually, for being a lesbian.
She had her head cut off.
And the, yes, thank you. That's what happened. She was executed. And it's, thank you so much. Cool.
There was a head cut off in this movie.
What I'm saying. Yeah. I think it's important to say she wasn't just executed, because now we think, like, injection. She had her head cut off.
No, she had her head cut off.
She and did.
Yeah, it was, it's just like, there's a lot of, like, real historical, like, I guess, like, related, I don't know what I'm saying anymore, but there's historical context is what I'm trying to say. There's, like, a lot of it.
I was shocked by, and I it was cool to watch this movie with you having read this story, or part of it at least, because I was like, I don't know what the fuck is going on, except it's, like, church versus lesbians versus witches
and
or
it's
something.
It's not the story perfectly, but it has, like, sort of the same idea that's posited in the novel, which is basically that, like, is Carmilla really, like, this evil, corrupted being? Or is it, like, everyone else assuming that's what she is? Like, is she a product of her environment? Or is it, like, she is a vampire? She is evil.
I vote everybody else. It's everybody else.
Oh, everybody else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so interesting concepts carried forward from the novella into this movie. The main actors in this, Claudio Brook, top billed actor. He played two characters, a hunchback gypsy who is one of the purveyors of evil, and then the doctor, Dr. Ozjek. Is that how you say it?
Probably, Ozjek.
Ozjek. Yeah.
It sounds like definitely like German or something. That's crazy.
But he's been in a lot of shit. He's been in a movie called The Bees. Also, License to Kill in the James Bond franchise, Kronos, another horror link, and many more. So go check out his filmography if you want to get deep into some Claudio Brook history. Tino Romero plays Alucarda and also Lucy, who is Justine's mother at the beginning of the film. Justine is played by Susanna Camini, and apparently she doesn't have a very large filmography. She's only been in a few things, one of them being this movie. And then David Silva's Father Lazaro, a real piece of work.
That guy's crazy.
Yeah. I wanted to know who the cinematographer was, as well as the special effects. Primarily the special effects guy, because some of the gore effects in this movie
are
super cool.
They're awesome.
So Abel Contreras was the special effects expert. He's kind of a big-time special effects artist in Mexico, but looked around on the internet, couldn't find a lot of information about him. And then the cinematographer was Xavier Cruz, not Xavier.
In Espanol, no.
I think it's just Xavier.
Xavier.
I don't know, though. I'm not an expert.
Xavier Cruz.
All right, Xavier Cruz. He has a long career in Mexico also. So, a lot of talent attached to this movie. Apparently, it was made very cheaply, but it doesn't look or feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
We have a new little mini segment that was suggested to us by our friend Tom, who said, "Where in the fuck can you watch these?" That's not exactly how he said it. That's how I imagined him saying it. So let's tell people where you could watch these. This movie is kind of hard to find. It's only streaming on two services right now, and they're both kind of weird ones that I've never heard of. FlixFling, which sounds problematic, and Cult Picks. Cult Picks sounds cool.
FlixFling
sounds a little scary. Sounds like you might get your credit card stolen if you logged onto that one, but no offense if you're a legitimate company. I just haven't heard of you. You could either go and buy this movie. Mondo Macabro did the DVD special release. That's the one that we rented. And we rented that at Movie Madness, where we'll be renting a lot of our movies. But if you're in Seattle, you could rent it at Scarecrow as well. And if you have an independent video store in your town, check out, see if they got it. And with that, let's get into a recap and a summary of what the hell this is about.
Take it away.
Ready to take it away, because this was my pick. And I always write down these weird things. You know, I write like a stream of consciousness notes while we're watching it. So I just want to say what I wrote for this was, looks like little Edie in this getup. She levitates. Satan chant disrupts church. Girls gone wild. You just invoke the kingdom of darkness. And then I said anti-church or anti-anti-church. And that was like my real takeaways after watching it. And then I dove into it a little bit deeper. And here's what happens, actually. So this movie opens with a woman giving birth in a full-length green velvet gown.
Awesome gown,
yes.
Too. Sick.
On a bed of straw in like an abandoned castle or something. And then she asks this hunchback to take her baby to the convent. And the baby gets taken away and she dies screaming. And then we move forward like a decade or so, 15 years, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's 15 years.
And the baby is a teenager, and that's Alucarda. And she's living in the convent, and a recently orphaned other teen girl comes into the picture, and her name's Justine.
She's going to live with the nun mummies.
Yes, the nuns are dressed like mummies.
They look like tampons.
They look like mummies or tampons or something. So Justine and Alucarda run around together. You know, they're out in nature having these like nature experiments with Alucarda's like, let me show you some secrets. And it's like bugs and
they look like ticks grass. Also.
They do look like ticks that made Buggy very upset. But it's kind of cool. It's like, this is magic and life, like look at the world, you know. So, and then they see a funeral, and Alucarda knows that the funeral is that of a suicide.
Yeah, and the other girl goes, funerals frighten me.
Yes.
Yeah, Justine has a major fear of death.
Her parents have just died, you know, that might be why. They, you know, they go to do all this weird shit together. They make a death pact, you know, just like what girls do when they're teenagers. It gets pretty lesbianic. There's like some witch Satan orgy stuff that culminates with Alucarda and Justine going to they did like touch each other's boobs and like cut There's each other's like a boobs.
Boob pact yeah. where they like yeah. press boobs together.
But the you know
and the goat man is involved in that. There's like goat man involved. But it kind of they go to class in the convent school and they start just kind of like yelling satanic things in class.
Satan, 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 our Lord and Master. I acknowledge thee as my God and Prince. I promise to serve and obey thee as long as I shall live. I renounce the other God and all the saints.
I love the satanic yelling.
And it's pretty cool. The Hail sets. Satan. Yeah. Hail Satan. The sets are incredible. It's like.
No, it looks like beautiful. And that church is like, it's really interesting because it looks like, I don't even know, like a catacomb or something. Yeah,
there's like hanging wax effigies and 4 million candles. And they obviously didn't have like a huge budget because like there's the actors are like doubled up, but they have the budget for this
looking
beautiful.
But I think it's symbolism too because it gets into like death and life. And like the church like really seems like a grave.
Death.
It's like dark and nasty and like kind of like uncomfortable and super intense.
Mm-hmm.
It like really does feel like a tomb or something.
And we'll get to that, you know. I believe in life, you believe in death. But they're like yelling stuff in God class and the nuns start whipping each other and they're wearing these mummy things and they're all bloody and
were they really bloody or is
they
that
were.
Just the
Yes,
design?
They were bloody. Well, and because they got the more whipping. Bloody. As it went forward, they got more bloody.
Well, because when they invoke their stuff, because there's like this whole scene where one like nun uses her like ability. She like talks to God and like she bleeds. Like it's like she's sweating blood.
Some of the blood is on their head because they're wearing the mummy thing on their heads too.
No, she was just like bleeding from like everywhere. It like made everything more bloody. It's like they bleed. I don't know if it like unleashes their godly power. I don't know.
And so they decide that like Justine is corrupted and they need to do an exorcism on her. And they like, you know, nail her to a cross basically. Like affix her to some boards. And they're like bleeding her out and they fucking kill her. They kill her. And then the doctor comes rushing in and.
He's very mad.
He's
mad.
He's so pissed. I got a quote from him. He said, "This is not an act of faith. This is the most primitive act of idiocy I've ever seen."
So yeah, there's some definite like science versus church stuff, which I also think there's some like nature versus church stuff.
Yeah, it's almost like a trifecta of. Old traditional religion versus science and modernism versus
Catholic,
like
Catholicism,
naturalistic.
Oh, you're saying
witchcraft.
That is the first one because I was thinking like old religion is old witch religion.
Old, well, I was saying like old traditional kind of like Catholic religion, and then there's more of the free living gypsy witchcraft.
God
nature.
Is earth. Earth is God. Yeah.
But they're all kind of pushing and pulling.
Yeah, they're against each other. And so the doctor comes in and sees this and Justine is dead. And so the doctor takes Alucardo away back home to his daughter who is blind. So, of course, Alucardo falls in love with her.
And that's the real Carmilla moment, too.
Here we go. Anne?
Well, I mean, that's it. It's just like that's how Carmilla starts is this carriage like crashes into a castle and Carmilla's unconscious in the carriage and her mother basically is like pissed off and is like, I have somewhere to be. So this lonely girl and her father take in Carmilla and then that's when that's like the catalyst event where like everything starts getting really intense and there's like this really intense like love affair going on.
Mm.
Which happens with Alucarda and the blind girl.
Yeah, so that, you know, that happens. And that's Alucarda's new girlfriend. But then Justine, who she loved before, her body disappears. And they find her in a coffin that's full of, like, blood shoots out of it, right? The blood coffin.
Yeah, there's, like, blood.
This is where the vampire stuff happens. Justine in the blood coffin. This is like she vampires a nun.
She does, but that's the only good nun too. The good so it nun. Sucks.
She vampires.
She
the good
whoops
nun.
Her ass first.
Yeah. Before oh she yeah, vamp- she like beats the shit out of yeah. her. And like at first, actually, it seems like they're gonna be okay. Like they like recognize each other, and then the doctor comes in, and what does he do, Mom?
I don't remember.
He throws holy water on her.
Oh, yes, yes. Douses her in holy water. But then Alucarda gets, like, turned. And she... that's what happens.
She does. She really...
she just lets loose with, like, her powers of fire.
Satanic powers of fire.
And just, like, sets the whole fucking shit ablaze. And that's it.
It's yeah. like WWE in there.
No, she mm-hmm. just, she goes crazy. Because she actually ends up being in like the church instead of where they thought she was originally. Mm-hmm. And while they're busy like dealing with Justine, she just starts like setting oh, right. fire they to go, nuns
yes,
and shit.
They're like out searching for her in the birthplace, like the abandoned, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the movie. It might not have made a lot of sense in the summary, but it yeah. didn't really make a lot of sense
major
in the watching.
Also, too.
No.
No, but I don't know if it'll even spoil it because it really doesn't make a lot of sense.
It's still, you got to see it for yourself.
There's a lot that it's you can beautiful. Interpret that's based true. On this.
Fair.
And I feel like I didn't fully comprehend it until I read a lot and I knew a little more about the novella mm-hmm. Camilla. And then I started to wrap my head around this movie a bit. But on first watch, I had no idea what the hell
I
this
thought,
was about.
I thought it was really pretty. Like, both the lead, the female characters are gorgeous, and their hair and their
it's shot
outfits
amazing.
Are really great. And the, like, nun fucking weird, bloody mm-hmm. mummy nun
no, the
costumes.
Symbolism is super cool, too. I love how, like, Alucarda is always, like, halfway in the darkness. Like, in mm-hmm. every shot you see her, like, she's always, like, kind of, like, tucked away, staring.
Oh, that was one of my favorite things, actually, is when you're introduced to Alucarda, she just kind of materializes out of, yeah. out of a shadow. Mm-hmm.
La hija de whatever the fuck she's doing. mm-hmm. Hija de. Okay. She's the daughter of whatever, you know
the,
what I'm saying?
Of darkness.
Darkness.
Yes.
Pero in the Espanol, I know it's oscura, but it's not that.
No.
It's a different word. But, yeah, it was pretty weird, pretty hard to follow, but knowing the context and knowing, okay, I think you should take away, there's like a deeply, deeply gay, I mean, Alucarda and Justine have a lesbian
they
romance.
They do. Well,
that
they have
not
a very
like,
intense relationship.
The dog doesn't want to hear
he's
about
shut up
he's
about
like,
that
I don't care if it's
shit.
Pride Month. I don't want to hear about this gay shit. Our dog has been very disruptive tonight. We think he's the messenger of the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic
well,
Church.
Well, he has been interrupting quite a bit. But now we're talking about what we like and didn't like about this movie, right?
Right.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this was my pick. I'm going to go first. I'm going to admit that I did not know what the fuck was going on when I watched this movie. And then I loved the set design and the music. And the outfits and the ladies, but until I read the backstory and until Buggy told me about Carmilla, I really was just kind of like, you know, there's like evil and there's good and we don't know who's who and the church is bad and the devil is bad and everybody's bad. And it was a little bit hard to follow for me is what I have to say, but it looked cool. Now that I know what it was trying to do, I appreciate it more, but it was not like... just dip in and watch this and get this message kind of movie.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely had fun. The second I found out what this was, like, based off of, I was, like, instantly way more excited about this movie. I do have to say, again, there's, like, a bunch of really cool, like, shots. Like, I made him, like, took notes about, like, there's a bunch of doorway shots that I really like. I also really like that Alucard is always, like, in... she's just, like... in darkness all the time. She's like obscured in so many shots and there's just so many cool shots because she's always wearing this one like black dress too where you can just kind of only see her face in a lot of things and she just looks really cool and like in contrast with a lot of scenes in the film. And again, yeah, like Mom said, it's really beautiful looking too. Like it's super like artsy and for a small budget too, like I feel like it did a really good job mm-hmm. with like also the sets it used too. Like I'm so curious like where they filmed that.
Oh,
like,
the like catacomb looking like yeah. the stuff that was in the church services where there were all these like wax effigies hanging behind all the candle. It was very cool.
And something you were going to mention too was like when I was saying the church kind of like seems like death. That's like a big element of it too.
My favorite quote.
You call yourself blessed and believe in the heavenly armies and worship death. I worship life. You worship death.
Yeah. Didn't I say it on here or did I get drowned by the dog?
You were like, wait till later is what you said.
Yeah. I believe in life. You believe in death. Mm-hmm. I believe in life. You believe in death is something that she says that's over and over again.
Says, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's really cool.
So yeah, there's a lot of like symbolism and I think it's interesting. I don't think it's one party's necessarily bad, but what it seems like to me is sort of like, kind of a cautionary tale of like hysteria is what I want to say. Cause it seems like everyone is sort of jumping to a rash conclusion in this film.
Did we get into lesbianism enough though? We got so cut off by the dog. It's a lesbian film.
I got into the fact that it's based off of like a historical.
Okay.
Like,
I just feel like the dog went wild right in the middle of us talking about that, which is something that happened. But yeah.
What do you think, Cody?
I liked it. There's a lot of things I like about it. I'm going to do the typical man thing first and say I loved the gore effects.
Titties. There were titties. There's bush and titties. We forgot to say that.
Well, yeah, there was a... Yeah, there's
calm down.
It is a nunsploitation film, so obviously there's going to be a shit ton of female nudity. I think it's required in a movie like this. But the gore was fantastic. There's a scene that we didn't really talk about, but there's one nun that gets killed and taken back to the main chamber in the monastery or whatever you call this weird place. What in the hell? Is it a cave? They live in a cave?
Yeah, it really does feel like a catacomb or like a tomb.
It looks like they live in some kind of cave, which makes it even more creepy and dark. But they take this sister who's been killed by either Justine or Alucarda back, and she reanimates.
Mm-hmm.
And the father just decapitates her with a fucking sword.
Oh, I know what you're talking about Mother Superior when she gets burned alive.
Oh, yeah. They find Mother Superior's body burned alive, and they take her back, and she reanimates, and then they have to decapitate her. And it's insane.
It's super cool. And that's when the doctor, too, like, loses his shit because he realizes this is for real because the really, the kind of, like, more villainous, I guess, priest, you could call him, or, like, that type, he is like, oh, can your science explain that, huh?
Yeah, that is one of the interesting pinch points where there's this very strong argument on the side of science where it's sort of trying to downplay this old traditional Catholic religious practice. And then when some of the more satanic elements start to come in, the doctor is confused and doesn't know how to explain it, which kind of brings me to one of the questions I had. Let me find it. Is this an anti-religion film? Or is it a cautionary tale about antiquated religious practices? Or is it sort of a triple cage match between traditional religion, less traditional religion and spirituality, like I mentioned early, like witchcraft
and natural magic. When you say traditional religion and then you say that is less traditional, I'm like, no, it's more, you mean like I older. Guess, yeah.
No, I mean, I guess I'm saying
Christianity.
I am trying to
don't do that, but I'm serious.
I'm trying to put a negative connotation into traditional.
So you're saying like witchcraft versus Catholicism versus science.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Because when you say traditional religion, I'm like, witchcraft is traditional religion.
I don't
like,
know. I told you I'm dumb.
No, you're not being dumb. It just confuses me.
Mm.
I think that's what it is.
I think with this movie, too, like, I do think it's not necessarily making, it's not really demonizing religion, I don't think. I have to say, like, just because there's so many elements of, like, the one nun who is, like,
nice,
really nice, but also, like,
oh, yeah.
She has Angelica. her own She's arc good. Where she, like, talks to God and, like, it's just, like, her, like, her character makes me think that there's more to it than just like, oh, this church is evil, because it's like there are voices of reason in every space.
Yeah.
Is kind of what it feels like.
Well, Sister Angelica is introduced as an empathetic character.
Mm-hmm.
And she is ultimately martyred
in
that's
the end
true.
As the Jesus effigy is burned in the background.
This is a bad iteration of the church. I do think it does. Mm-hmm. I think it makes that clear.
That's what
this
I was
is
trying to get
like,
at.
But I know, but
then
when
there's
you,
like multiple layers. Yeah.
No, I think
but there's earth religion.
It's so. Not. It's not saying like it's saying this church is bad, or at least what's going on. Because I think what it's really talking about too is like this mob mentality. Because that's
also
a big element of like the novel it's based off of. I can't say novella for some reason. It like stresses me out. But like, it's about like, I think everyone like jumping to the most ultimate conclusion and making like a rash decision, and also like putting their faith blindly into just like one figure is kind of what I'm getting from it. But I don't think it's like demonizing the whole like state of everything. I think it's more so like the nice characters who are getting like affected by the bigger, more corrupted things at play.
Which is just, I mean, do you want me to say it? Like,
go
that's
ahead, girl.
Sort of how religion.
It kind of is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like when it is that small, like personal version that helps you or helps you to be good, then it's fine. But once it becomes like prescriptive or where you're denouncing people and hurting them, that's when it gets bad.
What?
I mean, just saying, it's not a, you know, it, but it might have been a radical idea to put a movie like that out in 1977 in Mexico when it's like a very Catholic.
It's intense.
Is this a pro Satan movie?
I don't think so either.
No.
I think it's
that's what I can. I am I allowed to read that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Read it.
I think it might be pro lesbianism.
What do you
think?
That's
satanic, right? Happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
No, I want to read one review from a film critic named Anton Battelle, who writes for the British Film Institute. Mm-hmm. He actually wrote a review of multiple nunsploitation movies, but this was lumped in there. And I thought this statement was really interesting, and I was going to use it as justification for my pro-Satan take on the film, but...
Yeah.
Here we go. As these two girls, both haunted by the loss of their parents, form a bloody adolescent bond whose taboo nature threatens to bring the whole nunnery down, Alucarda offers up parallel interpretive matrices, medical, psychological, religious, in an attempt to rationalize the irrational while satanically inverting the iconography of Catholicism.
Wow.
I thought that was an interesting
right,
take.
Okay, so yes. So the anti-church is more powerful than church. Like, I feel like the anti-church sentiment might trump the church sentiment. Well, but it has to do with this particular sect, though,
well, for sure. But I also think, right? Like, a lot of the satanic, like, symbolism and, like, ideology, it kind of reminds me of, like, the Book of Satanism, or, like, sort of some of the, like, practices of like modern Satanism, which have to do a lot with nature.
Right.
Which was kind of interesting to me. Like, it seemed like a lot of those principles were at play, because that's like, from what I know about Satanism, it's a lot of like respecting nature and also like respecting your place in the world, among a lot of other things.
And here's where we admit on this podcast that we're Satanists.
Actually, this has been a pro Satan podcast the
way.
Entire
no,
Hail
but
Satan.
Hail Satan. No, but really, like, I think, and that's why anytime he was Satan, like the church or the traditional church, I'm like, the traditional church is rocks and rivers and plants, right?
This is a radical. Yeah, it is. I mean, you could say that, yeah.
If you say to me traditional church, I think first of earth religions and then second of like Christian religions.
Then we go to burning bush shit later.
And then later on, I want your firstborn and I'll goat him for whatever.
God damn.
Anyway, no, but I think it's really interesting. Anyway, we need to vote or something, because we're getting in the weeds. I think we're getting in the weeds.
Yeah, okay. You were just about to cook, though, Cody. You were
I know. He got.
I don't know. I was told I was boring on this podcast, and I shouldn't talk as much. So,
no one said that.
I'm trying not to talk as much.
I'm curious, though. You think this is like what? Really a pro Satan film?
Well, I want it to be, but what I was gonna end with my review is. this movie feels old, and there's some kind of clunkiness with the dialogue and some sort of stage acting components to it, which I am sometimes turned off by. But at the same time, there's this sinister subversive undertone to it. There's definitely feminist undertones to this movie. And what I think is maybe some subtle satanic elements to this movie. And ultimately, I think those outweigh some of the more clunky, old-timey things that turn me off about movies of this era, especially when they're sort of historical. I can get taken out of that pretty quick as soon as it gets a little too, I don't know. If it starts to feel like a play, and this is no knock on plays, because I know a lot of people like plays, but I kind of don't.
He hates plays.
He doesn't like musicals or plays.
We like musicals and plays.
No, mostly musicals. I'm okay with some plays. Okay, that's a pretty good deliberation on tonight's movie. Let's do a really quick obscurity rating on this before we do our vote.
Oh, yeah.
This has 4,100 votes on IMDb. It has 72 IMDb critic reviews, which is quite a lot. And I think this is because this is sort of a film nerd movie.
Right.
I think people like this in terms of, like, this is informative or inspirational to future nunsploitation and possession films.
And filmmakers you might, like, we watched the DVD extras had, like, Guillermo del Toro.
There probably is context about the time in which it's filmed, too, with the director, too, like you were saying. Like, it probably, like, has to do with, like historically, what's happening in Mexico. And, like,
the next generation of filmmakers in Mexico. So, yeah. Anyway.
Only two on Rotten Tomatoes. It's interesting. It's actually listed as Sisters of Satan on Rotten Tomatoes, not as Alucarda or as Daughters.
Oh, yeah. I had all the other names written down. There were like four. Mm-hmm.
So it's only listed as Sisters of Satan on Rotten Tomatoes, which is interesting. This is not a VHS-only film. It does have a DVD release, but not a Blu-ray release, and it's only streaming on two places. We talked about where you could find it earlier. All in all, this is a 5 out of 10.
Oh.
So 50% obscurity. Not the most obscure movie ever. Hard to find, I would say, in terms of if you're just out there trying to find something, might not stumble on it. But I think the reason why it's a little lower on the obscurity rating is because a lot of critics have watched this and a lot of nerds like us have watched it. And I think a lot of filmmakers were into this movie. So there's hints of it all throughout history.
Hmm.
So let's do our thing that we do at the end where we vote on whether we think it's a hidden gem. And I'm just going to keep doing it the way that we've been doing it.
Okay, we're ready, I think.
Where I do a countdown. And then I put in a sound effect later, so it sounds super dramatic.
Woo!
And it's just a dog barking.
Yeah.
Just put Albert.
And a fart. Okay.
Okay.
Here we go. We're going to vote. 3, 2, 1.
Oh, for the record.
For the record, we have 3 votes. This is a movie that we think is a hidden gem. Congratulations.
We did it, guys.
We found another one. And I got to be honest, my gut instinct was to vote no on this.
But
the more time I spent thinking about it, the more I started to like it, the more I got into the deeper meanings, the more I thought about some of the weird gore effects and some of the weird scenes and the sets, I realized that I was actually really into this movie.
And once again, happy Pride.
Yeah.
Another.
No, it's shot beautifully. It's super interesting. It has a lot of like little like Easter eggs that have to do with way more than the film itself. And it's kind of special in that way a little bit.
Hells yeah. So we've gone through our whole cycle of people selecting films, which I guess means it comes back to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the fence about what I'm going to do next time. I was thinking maybe I avoid the 80s because for some reason I was sure we were going to get another 80s movie today, but instead we got a movie from the 70s. So that makes me think maybe I will go back into the 80s. But also, I won't. Maybe I'll go even older.
Oh, or shit.
Maybe I'll do something a little newer that is still floating around in hidden gem territory.
Shit.
We will find out on the next episode. Does anyone have any closing remarks?
Soy una bruja.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
¿Y tú también?
I mean, sí.
Sí, sí, sí.
Siempre.
Buenas noches.
Okay. Bye.
Dirt Dogs on a Gym Hunt.